Today's program has been brought to you by Kane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit Kane5.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Health. Mexico is in the midst of a serious public health crisis. According to a report by the UN, nearly a third of its population is obese. That means Mexico has overtaken the US as the country with the world's highest obesity rate. The incidence of diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease has also spiked. We spoke with Veronica Flores to find out more. Veronica is the professor of nutrition at the Monterrey Institute of Technology and Higher Education in Mexico.
The most important nutrition survey was done in 2012, and it revealed that 73% of women and 69% of men were overweight, and almost 30% of men were obese, and 25% of women, which is like huge, no? If we compare it to other countries. The percentage of adults over 60 years old who have been diagnosed with diabetes, it's over 25% in both men and women.
Like many developing countries, Mexico is experiencing a shift in diet.
We can see a clear example of a country going through a nutrition transition, which means that a dietary adaptation is happening in the population, no? With increased reliance on a narrow base of staple grains, increased consumption of meat, edible oils, salt, sugar, fat.
This new diet is also heavy on soft drinks. The average Mexican drinks 46 gallons of soda a year, and most of that is Coke.
Mexico has the highest, I think now, is the highest consumption of soft drinks in the world. But the thing with this is not only people are attached to the flavor, which they are because it's sweet, but many communities in the country do not have access to clean water. So the easiest choice sometimes is going to be to buy a soft drink. No, it's not always going to be the cheapest, but the easiest.
For a situation so serious, its onset was fairly sudden. Veronica told us that obesity wasn't always a problem in Mexico.
The first nutrition survey, the first statistically strong nutrition survey in Mexico was done in 1988. This first survey, before this year, obesity was not a problem in Mexico. In this survey, this first survey mainly focused on the prevalence of undernutrition. So this obesity wasn't really a problem in the country. It wasn't in the mouth of anyone. 11 years later, in 1999, the second nutrition survey showed that a sharp reduction in the levels of undernutrition, but at the same time, it revealed a new problem, obesity in adults, especially in women. By the time the survey was done, it was already an epidemic. So we can say that between 1988 and 1999, something happened in the country that completely shifted the weight of the public health problems in the country, nutrition public health problems in the country.
That something, according to many public health and policy experts, was NAFTA. The North American Free Trade Agreement between Mexico, the US, and Canada was signed in 1994. It turns out that obesity might have been exported to Mexico along with commodity corn and packaged food. Laura Carlson, director of the Americas program at the Center for International Policy, told us more.
Yes, there's definitely a link between NAFTA and the rates of obesity that we're seeing here in Mexico. And it's easily seen if you just trace the rise of obesity, because it was a dramatic rise, and it dates from from NAFTA and the influx of junk food that dramatically changed the Mexican diet. So people who were basically living on tortillas, which are corn and minerals, and beans and rice as a basic diet, then began to eat more of these processed, highly processed, and refined and salty and fried foods that were coming from the United States. And this played a major role in changing the diet and then changing, you know, the physical well-being of Mexicans.
The effect is so strong that we see the highest rates of obesity in the north of the country, in the states closest to the U.S. border.
When you get down to into the southern in southern part of the country, there are a lot of more remote indigenous communities. And yes, the food is available, but they also tend to have stronger ties to their traditional diets. Because corn, for example, which is the mainstay of the Mexican diet, is not only their major food, but it's a big part of their culture and their traditional foods that really have a play a role in their identity. So they're less likely to move away from them. It's true that you can get junk food pretty much anywhere these days. And one of the sad things that's happened, the reason that we see obesity in poor communities, is that sometimes that junk food is even cheaper than unprocessed fruits and vegetables.
According to Laura, trade liberalization agreements like NAFTA always put profit before public good.
I think they did anticipate these consequences, because if you look at who writes these trade agreements and how they come about, they're essentially written by the transnational corporations with the support of governments that they fund through lobbying and through campaign funding and in other ways. And so it was certainly the intention of Coca-Cola to do this trade agreement and to open up Mexico as a new market, and for them it worked out just fine. There's very little thought given to the public good at the root of these trade agreements. What they're looking for is how to benefit big business, and you have to say that it's been a success in that.
According to the Center for International Policy, the obesity epidemic is costing the Mexican government billions of dollars a year. Veronica Flores explained what they're doing to try to fix it.
The government has been trying to implement some policies to work on the obesity problem. The first thing they did, which is not completely linked to obesity, but it was a step, I think, in the right direction, they removed salt shakers from tables. I mean, it was a step to make people think that there is a problem. So, salt shakers are not responsible for hypertension. Have to do more with processed food again. But it was, again, it was a step in the right direction. It was the first step the first policy the government made. And the next one is the huge one, the tax on sweetened beverages. There is a tax on 1 peso per liter. There is also a tax on high caloric density food, food that has more than 275 calories per 100 grams. Has been taxed with a 50% tax. And I think those are the most important policies the government has implemented. There's a new label. We are beginning this February. All food producers will have to have a front label, which is going to be a little bit more specific than the back label. So we can say the government is working on some policies.
But even though the Mexican government is trying to address the issue, they can't do as much as they need to. And that goes back to NAFTA, too. Here's what Laura Carlson had to say about it.
So a number of basic health issues and basic health policies that rationally a government should put in place to address such a very serious crisis. I mean, the cost in terms of diabetes and other health problems is estimated to be in the billions of dollars to Mexico, and they're just beginning to feel it in some ways. They can't put into effect because of being bound by NAFTA to protect the profits of the transnational corporations. We need to take agriculture and food out of NAFTA, because, or as some people say, take NAFTA out of agriculture and food. Because right now, there's been a lot of problems. The government has had serious difficulties in passing basic public health response to what's happening with the obesity crisis, because NAFTA won't allow it. Like, for example, they can't put a tax on sugar. They've already got fined millions of dollars for trying to save some of their sugar farmers, and this had more to do with the production end than the consumption, because of the influx of corn syrup here in the United States. And the Mexican government, with 20 million, with 50 million plus poor people, had to pay millions of dollars to Cargill for that case. So in a number of ways, and they also got a lot of pushback when they tried to limit the distribution of junk foods and soft drinks in the schools as well.
In collaboration with Yvette Cabrera, this is Amrita Gupta for Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.